This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Infectious disease saying the country has not yet gotten the coronavirus under control, and this will be a very difficult week. On CBS's Face the Nation, Dr. Anthony Fauci said that America hasn't quite seen the peak of the outbreak yet. However, at Sunday's coronavirus task force meeting, Vice President Mike Pence said,
"We are beginning to see the glimmers of progress. The experts will tell me not to jump to any conclusions, and I'm not. But like your president, I'm an optimistic person, and I'm hopeful."
Former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee calling it quits on his run for the White House. Chafee announcing yesterday the timing is difficult for him to run as a Libertarian candidate in 2020. He ran for president as a Democrat in 2016. This is USA Radio News.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden says he'll be wearing a face mask when he goes out into public because of the coronavirus.
It's important to follow the science. Listen to the experts. Do what they tell you.
The U.S. has now confirmed 330,000 cases of the coronavirus, and the death toll has climbed to at least 9,600. And again, government officials say it's going to get worse before it gets better. The Department of Veterans Affairs opening its hospitals to coronavirus patients, as VA Secretary Robert Wilkie says 1,500 beds will be open to patients around the nation. Wilkie says 100 beds are already open in the New York area, which has been the epicenter of the illness in the United States. Walmart ramping up safety measures after two Chicago area workers died from coronavirus. This weekend, the store began limiting the number of shoppers allowed in its stores to promote social distancing. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
A single camera person wearing protective clothing has recorded a special message from Britain's Queen Elizabeth. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
In a rare address, Queen Elizabeth is offering some moral support to her people.
Together we are tackling this disease, and I want to reassure you that if we remain united and resolute, then we will overcome it.
Also, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is now in the hospital after testing positive for the virus 10 days ago. Officials say he's having some tests, and this is only a precaution. During his evening press conference, President Trump wished Johnson well. He said all Americans are praying for him.
U.S. Coast Guard search teams in the Maryland area turning their efforts to find two missing members of the Kennedy family from a rescue effort to a recovery mission. Maeve Kennedy Townsend McKean and her son Gideon Joseph Kennedy McKean went missing on Thursday afternoon on Chesapeake Bay. An overturned canoe the two had been in has been located. And former Vice President Joe Biden is expected to hold a series of virtual fundraisers. Biden reportedly planning to host a $28 a person virtual fireside chat later this month. Donors will receive login instructions to attend that online event. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. Do you remember where you were on February 23rd, 1945? A bunch of Marines were lifting a flag on Iwo Jima. The battle lasted 36 days, killing 5,931 Marines. Additionally, 209 Navy corpsmen and surgeons assigned to the Marines died, as well as soldiers, sailors, and airmen from other units. More than 110,000 Marines, sailors, soldiers, and airmen served, with more than 26,000 killed or wounded. So here's your veteran's tip of the day. As you walk by an American flag, stop for a moment and think of the tens of thousands of soldiers and sailors, airmen and Marines who were killed or wounded in those days in February of 1945. You will be better for thinking of them. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
Well, we're continuing to be held hostage. Happy Monday, I hope, for you. And I hope you're hanging in there. I mean, with all the cabin fever and everything that's been going on, is many of the states, just about all the states now, I think maybe there's less than a dozen that have not have stay-at-home orders. But yet there's no doubt, you know, that people are, whether or not they have a stay-at-home order or not, we are increasingly becoming more cautious and responsive to this coronavirus. We realize that it's not the flu. It is much dangerous than this. In fact, it was quite interesting over the weekend. We heard Bill Gates saw an old video, an old TED video that he did 5 years ago. 5 years ago, saying, look, if there is going to be anything that's going to be responsible for killing millions of people, it's not going to be a war. He predicted a pandemic was on the horizon, and quite insightful. And of course, you know, the Bill and Linda Gates Foundation has been doing a lot in terms of, you know, trying to help the cause. You know, again, as we've maintained, you know, big companies do big things, and people of affluence do big things. I mean, you may not totally agree with everything, you know, Bill and Linda Gates stand for, but when it comes to philanthropy and what they've tried to do, you know, thank God for Bill and Linda Gates. I got to say this, you know, that they are doing what they can, even from their worldview, based on the resources that they have available. And they have lots of resources. They have lots of money. And they've been part of the solution, not adding, you know, to the problem. But we're looking at the next couple of weeks being rather ominous. When you have the U.S. Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, warning yesterday amid the coronavirus pandemic that the week ahead would be the hardest and saddest of most American lives, it is predicted that we will get the biggest number of deaths that we've experienced as a result of the coronavirus in the next 2 weeks. He went on to say, this is going to be our Pearl Harbor moment. Our 9/11 moment, only it's not going to be localized, it's going to be happening all over the country. That's what we can expect. This is why we went from 15 days to 30 days to slow down this coronavirus spread. It's why it's so important that we realize that we're all in on this thing, whether you want to be or not. Like the old saying, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you, right? And we've said this is a war with a silent enemy. And, you know, I think the governor of Michigan said it quite eloquently. This isn't, you know, one of those partisan diseases. It's hitting everybody. And I know there's been a lot of criticism, you know, especially by the president on Governor Whitmer. And she's, you know, she's been on the job for, you know, less than 2 years. And I think she's bringing, you know, some perspective here that the president should listen to. It, you know, and a president shouldn't be so thin-skinned that just because people have an idea that they're disqualified. I mean, this is the problem with the left. The left disqualifies everything. And we lose when people are invalidated so quickly. You've got to hear them out. I mean, she is, you know, 1/50th of the proposition here as the governor of the state of Michigan. And I thought what she had to say on, you know, the Sunday news show with Chris Wallace made sense to me. Is that, you know, though I understand, look at, you know, if you're hardcore federalism, then you want the states to have full control. But what happens when the states really are ill-prepared and they really need the support, and they are right now, and what this governor is asking for is for, you know, is for the federal government to step forward and really kind of take over this. And I hear what she's saying, and I don't think that's all that bad as long as there's limitations to it. You know, like everything about our Constitution, I mean, there can be adjustments. The challenge I have is when something is established, like what we did in 9/11, and it remains forever. You know, we have so many laws on the books that just keep on going. I'll tell you, there's also some interesting input, you know, from Dr. Scott Gottlieb. And we've been trying to get him on here. He's been on with us before, and of course, he has been kind of the go-to person on this coronavirus. I'm talking about outside of, you know, Anthony Fauci and Dr. Birx. But more and more people are listening to what Scott Gottlieb says. He's the former FDA head. And he said that it's going to be a tough week, especially, you know, for those in the Sun Belt. Listen to his comments. Listen to what he had to say.
But what are some of the lessons of what we're seeing in New York right now? Because we're hearing, and I know you've been tweeting about some of the unusual thing, younger patients being hospitalized at alarming rates in New York in particular. Why is that happening?
Right. Well, we don't understand. I mean, this infection is not just an infection that's causing severe outcomes in older Americans, as was initially put forward. A lot of young people are having bad outcomes, are intubated right now in the ICUs with no comorbidities, no otherwise, no risk factors that would predict a bad outcome. There's pregnant women intubated and in hospitals right now. We need to understand that. There's been no publication, serious publication by the CDC of the collective clinical experience in the United States right now. So doctors are making decisions based on anecdote and their own clinical experience. There's really no excuse for that right now. We need to start getting literature out right away to inform providers on what's working and what's not. You heard the hospital chief there say about 70 to 80% of people who get intubated succumb to their infection. That's what I'm hearing from other hospitals. Doctors are now experimenting with more fluids. They're experimenting with high flow oxygen. They're experimenting by putting patients in the prone position, meaning laying them on their stomach rather than on their backs when they're intubated. This is stuff that doctors are figuring out from their own clinical experience, but really what we should have is literature published by the CDC that delineates what's working and what's not, so doctors can take a more systematic, data-driven approach to these things.
Well, this is Dr. Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner, also with the American Enterprise Institute, giving his perspective on what is going on. You know, this is part of the challenge that we have right now. Everybody's a doctor. I mean, he's a doctor. He's legitimate. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. But I'm talking about outside, when you get the pundits in there, and then you can't help but have, you know, some of the political, you know, jib and jabs that are happening because it's the nature of the environment in which we live in. I mean, over the weekend, I got a couple of heads-up videos, one from, you know, which I thought was kind of, you know, kind of interesting, from Dr. Thomas Cohen, and this was regarding the coronavirus and 5G theory. And he says, look, at you got to look at what sometimes, you know, when you see fish dying suddenly, you know, you wonder, you go, okay, did somebody put something in the water here? It takes a while sometimes to ask that question because everybody comes up with all kinds of theories. And he had an interesting theory in talking about, you know, 5G and how in looking back historically at the others, other pandemics that have taken place, whether it was SARS or whether, you know, going back to the flu of 1918, the Spanish-American flu, and how our electronics, how electronics interrupted the environment and how that got deposited into our environment, and what followed shortly thereafter was a pandemic because it was because of the metals and the electromagnetic effects having on us biologically. You know, interesting perspective. to be looked in further, no doubt. And, of course, some other videos out there, and we'll talk more about that when we come back. Stay with us. It's 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're worried about your cholesterol, hear how others are taking charge with garlic.
My doctor said my cholesterol was borderline, but I've been taking garlic, and it works.
I've been taking garlic for years.
My pharmacist recommended garlic. He said there's an ingredient in garlic that helps maintain healthy cholesterol.
I take garlic every day. No garlic breath.
Lots of people like you are choosing garlic to help maintain a healthy cholesterol. Garlic, it's cholesterol's natural enemy. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So, yes, they can help share your needs, too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us as we're reviewing the Sunday talk shows. And I want to bring Dr. Scott Gottlieb back, former FDA commissioner and member of the American Enterprise Institute, in talking about, you know, how things are going to change. I mean, he says that this will probably permanently change America as we know it. Listen to what he had to say.
I think things are going to be permanently changed coming out of this until we get to a vaccine and we can fully vanquish this. We're not going to see a V-shaped recovery or a quick snapback. Absent the ability to get a highly effective drug in the hands of doctors that can mitigate the risk, either used as a prophylaxis to prevent infection from people who get exposed to this virus, or treat people who get the virus and are likely at a high risk of a bad outcome. We can have that kind of drug by the summer and certainly by the fall. I don't see the kind of deliberate industrial approach, all hands on deck approach to trying to get that kind of therapeutic. And there are things that are promising right now that could be brought forward more quickly. But absent that, this is going to be an 80% economy. There are things that are not coming back. People are not going to crowd into conferences. Yeah. They're not going to crowd into arenas. The marginal customer is not going back to movie theaters and cruises and Disneyland, and we need to accept that. Now, what changes that equation is technology, but we need a deliberate approach to getting that technology quickly.
So some good insight there from Dr. Gottlieb in terms of the technology. And, you know, and I believe that all our scientists, you know, you talk about all hands on deck, are coming together with, you know, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. And we got a lot of smart people out here. And I believe this is what encourages the president and vice president when they're talking with people. I mean, and Governor Cuomo, for that matter, people who are optimistic about us being able to rise to the challenge. This isn't the first time America has had to deal with a pandemic, you know, like this. Certainly this came in some regards, people would say, out of nowhere, but Dr. Fauci, even before, you know, right before the president was inaugurated, had suggested that that a pandemic was on the horizon. So we've had voices, you know, warning that this was going to happen. The thing that's a bit surprising to me, I have to say, is that, you know, all this information that we're getting about, and probably in some cases this is true, and I don't mean to malign this, but I'm just saying is we got to balance this out a little bit, because we're hearing about how hospitals are overwhelmed, and we're seeing video in New York particularly of Elmhurst Hospital, for example, how it's been overwhelmed and people are lined up, and, you know, I mean, it looks like a disaster. I mean, it's quite threatening and scary, to say the least. Well, the next day, you had citizen journalists going out to the same spot there at Elmhurst, even walking into the hospital, there's nobody around. You know, there's, you know, ventilators that are there on the side, just there, not being used. You know, all this stuff and the threats that, you know, PPE materials are lacking and, you know, masks and all this. And I guess part of it, which, again, in terms of asking critical questions, is you realize, like my son was due to have an operation in April, in this month, and they canceled it. And they canceled it because of the coronavirus. So all elective surgeries have been canceled. Okay, now think about this. Now, that is a predominant part of hospitals. Those surgeries aren't happening. So all the equipment associated with those surgeries are not in use. You know, PPE materials, not used. So, and I can't think. I mean, it's hard for me to get my brain around this and just asking the question. You talk about the first line of defense. I mean, we're the next line of defense are the hospitals themselves. But you've got hospital administrators and people who order these things. I mean, like, why are they out? Why would they be out of materials? I mean, you have no elective surgeries, but you know. And again, I don't know these numbers. I'm just asking the questions here. Is that you know, why are the hospitals? Because the hospitals know. I mean, they stay on top of this better than governors of states, clearly, and they know what they have. But all of a sudden, this narrative that we're getting, and then you see these citizen journalists see videos. I mean, Todd Starnes as well, one of them. He said he lives out in Queens, and he's showing hospitals and emergency rooms, and it's like nothing's happening there. But yet, New York is the hot zone. You know, you would think, my goodness, we got people dying in the street here. Maybe we do. Maybe we're just not seeing it. I don't know. I'm just asking questions, because when you have contrarian evidence, video by citizen journalists just capturing anecdotally what's happening in these hospitals, doesn't seem to square up. And you wonder, you go, okay, if we're going to take this thing seriously, see, this is what starts to put cracks in the narrative and the information that's being put out there. I mean, you have Dr. Gottlieb, you have Dr. Adams, you know, saying, look at, you know, this is our Pearl Harbor. All this is all very serious. And then you see information, I mean, you hear, you know, Governor Cuomo every day talking about the seriousness. And, of course, his brother now has the coronavirus, and they're joking around and all that. And that's cute. And it's relatable. But besides that, you know, we're trying to get everybody invested in here. As I said, you may not be interested in war, but war's interested in you. And this virus is, you know, coming across. I mean, interesting, you know, now I'm watching the Ten Commandments, and I'm seeing, you know, when the plague went out and killed the first son, the first child of any Egyptian, you know, I thought, wow, is this, you know, like this, the coronavirus. And then you can go into a rather spiritual component of this. And, you know, Franklin Graham spoke out and said, look it, you know, it comes down to us, you know, people who know God, you know, as 2 Chronicles 7, you know, we've been using it for years, for decades now. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, okay, first of all, it's the people who know God. They're the ones that are going to lead the way on this. And I agree with Franklin Graham. And you've heard me from time to time without turning this into a Sunday service. But if you're looking for the real answer, that's where the answer resides. I mean, this isn't happening. Coronavirus is not happening without the knowledge of God. But again, you know, as I said, 2 Chronicles 7, 13, and 14 has been used over and over again. But, you know, we have to more than use it. We really, you know, the people of faith, people who know God, who are called by his name, must apprehend that and really believe in this. And it says that that they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Okay, you've got to seek God's face, and in seeking God's face, I've often said, in the presence of God, all truth is known. Okay, and what truths have we been hiding in our closet that we don't want to bear out? But we go before God in all humility and understanding. Look, we're human. You know, we make mistakes, and we're willing to square up, you know, God's reality, God's will with our will, and let his will be done. And so you come to God, no holds barred, and you're humbled to say, look, I don't have it. You know, the government doesn't have it. President Trump doesn't have it. Dr. Fauci doesn't have it. None of these doctors have it. But God has it. Okay? And we acknowledge that we're not in charge here. We're not in control. So we humble ourselves, and in that process, we're seeking the face of God. We understand that he is God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. All things he is in control of. I mean, we saw it in the life of Jesus. I mean, he was one that could still, you know, still the storms on an angry sea, right? God has that ability. He says that, look, we need to seek God's face and understand the truth of the matter. He says, and we got to turn from our wicked ways. I mean, when you think about, you don't need to hear me run down all the wicked examples that are on display here in America. You know what they are. And you know where we are right now. And it is wicked. And we need to admit that, you know, we have embraced wicked ways. And we're willing to confess that to God and say, we acknowledge these are wicked. He says, then he will hear
from heaven. Now that mortgage rates are at all-time lows, the question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman. middleman and no waste of time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The nation's top expert on infectious disease saying the country has not yet gotten the coronavirus under control, and this will be a very difficult week. On CBS's Face the Nation, Dr. Anthony Fauci said that America hasn't quite seen the peak of the outbreak yet. However, at Sunday's coronavirus task force meeting, Vice President Mike Pence said,
"We are beginning to see the glimmers of progress. The experts will tell me not to jump to any conclusions, and I'm not. But like your president, I'm an optimistic person, and I'm hopeful."
Former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee calling it quits on his run for the White House. Chafee announcing yesterday the timing is difficult for him to run as a Libertarian candidate in 2020. He ran for president as a Democrat in 2016. This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804. Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
All I can say, if we're going to save this country, we've got to get off our backs. We've got to get up and off the canvas, ladies and gentlemen. And one of the ways of doing that is that we all exercise our God-given right of self-responsibility. If we're going to get on top of this, it is going to be up to me and you, the man, the woman in the mirror. With us right now from the Liber Initiative is my good friend Daniel Garza. He is the executive director of said organization, the Liber Initiative. Daniel, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Bill. Good morning to you.
Well, great day to you. Great to have you here to talk about your call. You tweeted out that you're calling on governors and state lawmakers to take bold and decisive action to contain the spread of COVID-19.
Yeah, you know, right now we feel really strongly that policymakers need to make bold decisions. Because I think the American people are looking to our elected leadership to step up here and, of course, consider measures that will control the spread of the coronavirus, but also ameliorate its impacts, right, especially in our economy. What's the smartest way to do that? And so I think we need to be very careful as we step forward, too, if we're going to be bold, obviously thinking of the ramifications and consequences of the American people.
Well, and I think that part of the challenge we have here, and help me understand this, because maybe I may be missing it, but what I'm seeing occurring is the dynamic tension between, you know, federalism, the idea of federalism, that the governors, the individual states, have the authority and its proper lane to operate in, and then there's the federal government, where President Trump, as president and a commander in chief, can, wield some very serious things that could threaten our constitutional foundations. And I think that tension is maybe confusing us a little bit.
And maybe it's delaying things. Governor Gretchen Whitmer over the weekend, you know, she's been criticized. Her and Donald Trump have gone back and forth. But I thought what she had to say on Sunday made some sense. You know, sometimes Donald Trump is a bit thin-skinned, that when somebody, you know, questions something and he doesn't like it, he doesn't seem to ask any questions. He just strikes back. And we all have our issues as human beings. Nobody's perfect here. But I think he needs to listen to what she's saying, because here you've got a new governor. She's, what, 18 months, less than 2 years on the job, and saying, look it, I need help. And she doesn't have the wherewithal, but seems to be a pretty sharp woman. I think, first of all, if anybody can come in and say, hey, look it, I don't have all the goods and I need some help here. To me, I have a lot more respect for that person than says, hey, I got it under control and I know everything. Now,
I think the American people want transparency and honesty. I think that's why you're feeling that way. And, mm-hmm. That's a correct sentiment.
Yeah. And so she's asking for the federal government to help where they can help, because there's certain authorities. And maybe her state is, I don't know in terms of her, you know, constitutional laws within the state of what she can do and she cannot do. But, you know, what you're calling for is, you know, the governors to go ahead and exercise their power and the full force of their position and all that is in their lane. And I think that that's good encouragement. That's sound admonishment that we need to really step up. And here's a time when leaders come forth and demonstrate, to we the people what needs to be done. And that is that we all have skin in this game. Whether you like it or not, you know what? Your skin is in this game, right?
Well, it starts with the individual, right?
I mean, yes.
Look, I have to take care of my home, and I have to be responsible for my family, and I have to make the correct and wise decisions during the time of crisis to protect my family. Now, here's the thing. What's out of my control is that the federal government and even governors are restricting me from moving outside my home and carrying on with normal activity, because that normal activity puts somebody else in danger. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason why they're doing it, right? And then, right. Of course, right now, I think churches are being impacted. All our institutions are being impacted by this, especially our economy. And
exactly.
Because there is a negative consequence on the economy outside of our power and control, then what's the remedy to that, right? And I think also elected leadership, and this is why we're calling on them to make sure that they look. I think a lot of Americans are seeing the character in their own elected leadership and their governors, and I think part of the reason why I think Donald Trump is thin-skinned and always has been is because he seeks validation. He seeks recognition, you know, for his efforts, for what he's done. And when he doesn't get it, he acts out. And everybody sees that, right?
Right.
And I think right now, at a moment of crisis when there's just so much detail, clearly the president can't be on top of everything. And I think he's looking to the governors to step up, too. And so when all they can do is complain, I think, you know, he snaps, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to be tolerant of each other's inadequacies right now,
mm-hmm.
and focus on what's the most important. What we don't want to see, Bill, is a response that overreaches, that really crushes the economic life of America for long term.
Exactly.
Especially if we can help it.
Right. Well, the president has. He's been kind of in a no-win position from day one anyway.
Definitely.
And I question sometimes, to your point, Daniel, if this doesn't, you know, cause him to be sensitive. I mean, even for him to make the decision, and he made it single-handedly, to stop all planes coming in from China. And initially, you know what kind of hell and what have you came his way. He was accused of being a racist, all these things, a xenophobe. And now even Dr. Fauci is saying, boy, thank God he did that. And he's still questioned, you know, rather that, you know, he didn't act fast enough. And, you know, and there's going to be, you know, lots of books. You got to know, after all this is said and done, there's going to be lots of.
Well, Bill, I mean, in parentheses, you know, speaking to that, it's been really disappointing to see the Democrat leadership just try to take advantage of the situation to land political hits instead of.
Right.
Making sure that they've stepped up as well and are working with the president in unity to make sure that we overcome this crisis, then you can get to the politics.
Agreed.
Joe Biden has been absolutely absent.
Yes.
The media, all they do is play gotcha during these policy hearings or the briefings that he's been having, and that really has been disappointing. And I think the American people are looking you know, for a Franklin Roosevelt during World War II, you know, when people unite around our leader to mm-hmm. make sure that we overcome, you know, the crisis that we're facing. And here, I just haven't seen it.
Right. Well, my point about bringing up the airline issue was that maybe President Trump needs to have another one of those moments. And Abraham Lincoln had it. You know, he's going around the table. Hey, how do you guys feel? No, we're against it. We're against it. He goes, well, I'm the president. I'm for it. It's going to happen. And maybe that's, and that's what President Trump did regarding, you know, canceling, you know, stopping all flights from China coming here to America. And understanding the sensitivity of federalism, honoring the governors, he may just have to, you know, come to that moment to decide, hey, look, at if we are, as you know, Admiral Adams, the Surgeon General, has pointed out, if we are at our 9/11, our Pearl Harbor moment, you know, just like the presidents at that point in time, the decisions they had to make, they led the way. And Donald Trump may have to, you know, finally pull the trigger on that decision and just say, look it, for the greater good, and, you know, the governors are either going to, you know, they'll have no choice because everything will be under the federal government. And for a short time, maybe that's required, and that's what you're saying here, you know, in certain ways. Yes, we want the governors to do it, but the governors are almost, you know, it's almost like the governors aren't used to having this kind of power, almost. Do you kind of sense that? Do you sense that?
I do. And you know what's interesting is, look, governors or presidents, as long as policymakers level with the American people and themselves, you know, amongst themselves, they must know that the shutdown is hurting a lot of people. But Americans are willing to tolerate it because, you know, we see the danger, right? And you have to trust us, too, but you have to level with us.
Exactly.
I think in times of peril and uncertainty, we become really conservative. You know, we become risk averse.
Exactly.
That's fine, right? Mm-hmm. So we're willing to tolerate a lot of this stuff, but at the same time, don't go too far. You know, don't use this as an advantage to, you know, take political hits or to try to pass, you know, agendas that are not, have nothing to do with the crisis. And Americans will see right through that. And I think, you know, President Trump has, in times of challenge, I think he has stepped up and he has kept us informed. Look, he's seeing the highest approval ratings of his presidency right now.
Exactly.
There's a reason for that.
Well, we've got to go to break. We've got more from Daniel Garza on the other side. Stay with us. This is a fresh and independent radio talk show, as you can tell. And we've got more after this. Stay with us.
Right now is a very good time to be a member of MediShare. A lot of people join because of the savings or because they love being a part of something they can believe in. But here's something you should know. If you're a member of MediShare, you get access to telehealth services. So you can see a doctor online anytime, anywhere. They can review your symptoms and even send prescriptions directly to your pharmacy. So you don't have to go in for an appointment for a non-emergency. You can be seen right where you are. And this is something that's been a great feature for MediShare members. It's amazingly convenient, but especially important right now. Online access to doctors for you and your family 24/7 from your home. It's there when you need it. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it's the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, and you can join anytime. Find out more. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation. 800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Daniel Garza continues with us, the executive director of Libra Initiative. Daniel, before the break, we were talking about, you know, the president's job and what the people are longing for. And it is that sense of vision. You know, presidents who have been in wartime situations, as this president has admitted that he is a wartime president, they have the ability to cast a vision that is consistent out there and is encouraging to the body politic to let them know where they're going. And as you were speaking of that, I thought of John Steinbeck's play, you remember, of Mice and Men. And the storyline that you heard consistently between George and Lenny, who was mentally disabled, but George was the older brother, and he would often, you know, tell Lenny where they were going to go, that they were going to end up on a cabin and they were going to be by a lake. And, you know, there was some respite here. Of course, you know, this play was all about the Great Depression. And you imagine how hard the times were there. And here you got these two guys just trying to survive. And you've got one guy that's got most of his wits and another that, you know, is mentally disabled. And he's bringing him along, but constantly throughout the play is, where are we going? Tell me again, George. And I think that's what America is looking to this president for, is to cast the vision of saying, okay, where are we going here? And maybe he might say, if he was on the line, he might say, Bill, didn't you hear me? I'm saying every day this economy is going to pick up. But he's got to find a way to articulate that in such a way so that it's inarguable and that it really is something that the mainstream media can't refute, because they're refuting it. And as you mentioned, the Democrats, sadly, are not participating in the solution to the grand plan of, you know, party aside, you know, where is the country? Where is the strong footing of this country that we need to find ourselves on so that when we come out of this, that we're all the better and that we truly have a vertical trajectory coming out of this?
Yeah, no, without question, Bill, I think you spoke very poignantly that I look at the American people elect somebody on the promise of leadership in times of crisis. And this is a time of crisis. And you're absolutely right as to forward-looking, being visionary, and that's what they're looking to Donald Trump for right now. And unfortunately, what we're getting from the other side is just bickering and petty partisanship. I think, you know, what's going to be needed to reopen the economy, frankly, the president is already speaking to this, is general testing. I think that gives us better data on where we're at.
Right.
A significant winding down of new cases. A good handle on how we can continue, you know, to keep the spread of the infection minimal. And in these guidelines that the White House has been putting out on honoring social distancing and keeping clean, this has been very important, very informative for preventative sake. Look, the bottom line is this. Again, policymakers will need to be honest with Americans and themselves and concede that the possibility that the shutdown and its effects could drag well beyond the end of this month. And so it's important that I think us as the American people understand and recognize that we need to be patient. You know, restarting activity too quickly, we feel could risk a second spike in infection.
Exactly.
And of course, could deal more damage to the economy and really shake people's faith. You know, right now, I think we're in a good position. I think people feel certain about our leadership. You know, obviously, that would only last so long if things start to unravel. So we have to be smart and wise, and leadership needs to step up.
Well, and we're getting some answers. I know there's some contravening discussion and commentary about the hydroxychloroquine. Well, I'll tell you, but I'm reading so much anecdotal information, Daniel, that not that necessarily this is the silver bullet, but it's saving lives. I mean, there's a guy in South Florida here a couple of weeks ago. He had all but said goodbye to his family. He's the, I'm done. You know, it's been nice, and you know, I'm dying. And he takes hydroxychloroquine along with I think either a Z-Pak or zinc. It was some cocktail that he took. And within 24 hours, he's like he's been born again. I mean, he's back to his senses. And I mean, we're hearing stories like this consistently. A doctor in France who discovered this, you know, and he talked more about it than the Chinese, because the Chinese, oh, by the way, are friends, supposedly, the people that we helped with right. all the biomedicals and the pharmaceuticals, because we felt like, well, if we invested in China, they would be nice and they would be good contributors to the greater good, and we find out they're not. They knew hydroxychloroquine was working. But they didn't say anything. But this doctor in France, he does an off-the-cuff trial with a medication that's been approved back in the 40s and 50s. And I'm talking 1900s for those of you maybe stuck in the 20s still, but that's okay. But it's a long time. We're talking something that's been around for 70-plus years. And 16 people, all 16, 100% success with that. And that's documented. So this is starting to happen. And as Dr. Fauci said, doctors have done this, you know, forever. When they know and they hear, I mean, because they're in the business of trying to save lives. It's not like doctors want to sit there and say, okay, want to offer comfort care to everybody. You know, they want people to come out healed. And so they hear, if they hear something's up, you know, they're going to utilize it and they're going to prescribe it, and that's what they're doing. And but yet the media wants to, you know, disdain it and be super critical of it. And yes, we're still looking for a vaccine. And now that we've had people that have come out on the other side, hopefully their blood plasma is going to hold really the true silver bullet that we're looking for, right?
Well, look, once again, I think I have to tip my hat to the president on this one, because in his first year, he took on the issue of right to try and passed it when nobody else before him had even come close.
Right.
And right to try was, you know, here you have people at the end of their lives and they want to take a shot on innovative medicine. And this legislation allows them to do that. I mean, you can have the remedy, but if you're not, you know, as a doctor allowed by law to provide to somebody, you know, what's the use?
Exactly.
Right to try allows for that, right? And so one of the silver linings that we've seen during this whole time has been a lot of the deregulating that's been going on, and we want to see more of that. I mean, telehealth, for example, has been deregulated, and that's terrific. You know, the fact that now a doctor doesn't have to be in his clinic or at the hospital to provide telehealth, the fact that a person doesn't have to be at a clinic or at a hospital, but from their home to receive telehealth diagnosis is terrific. But we also want to see more of that, right? Remove more of Medicare's telehealth restrictions. We want to see expedited approval of medicines and clinical testing options. We want to see expanded online learning options. And so there's a lot of things we can do still on the deregulation side. And so it's interesting. A lot of people are saying that, well, we're seeing, you know, the spread of socialism during this crisis. We're actually seeing a lot of the spread of deregulation during this
exactly.
crisis.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't get the socialism. Forgive me. I don't get that connection. I definitely get the exposure of globalism. I mean, because globalism is part and parcel what caused this situation. So, you know, I think, you know, in terms of the whole globalism agenda, it's quite indicted. No, yeah, by the way, you better keep an eye on what China is doing, because they're moving militarily in areas that, you know, that our military and our government is still, you know, to the president's credit, it's not all about coronavirus, just like it wasn't all about impeachment. He kept his eye on the ball, and this is why he was able to make the moves that he made in mid-January to close out the airports from China, right?
Well, you know, that's exactly right. And, you know, to your point, you know, we want to make sure that socialism doesn't creep in, that this aid be targeted, that it be timely, that it be focused, right? Any fiscal response or emergency policy changes should be temporary in nature. And really should be closely tied to the impact and the duration of the COVID-19.
Exactly. So in much the same way, 9/11, because there's some things that have been hanging over, right? Exactly.
Swift and targeted relief. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Like 9/11. Let's speak to the issue here, you know, and address the impact that American people are feeling through no fault of their own. Remember,
right.
this has been imposed by government. Mm. And so this needs to be temporary. As soon as we're on the other side, let's snap back, you know, to normalcy. And we need to make sure that no politician is trying to impose some kind of long-term green energy, you know, agenda
right.
onto this thing. And so, you know, we're making sure that we're going to be hawks on that.
And the thing is, when we talk about snapping back, Daniel, we're talking about snapping back to our constitutional foundation. You know, extreme times may require some extreme measures, but we also need to know what our North Star is. What is the vision? What is the ultimate vision of this country? And our founding fathers cast that for us and made it real clear, I believe, no questions asked, in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. That's what we snap back to. Right.
Exactly. And what's happened here, and I sort of mentioned it a little bit before, is that to our normal activity, otherwise normal activity, we are putting people in danger. That's why, you know, we are willing to stay in our homes, to shut down our economy. But you know, the responses to this, once we're out of this on the other side, this should be limited in scope now. Mm-hmm. But federal lawmakers should avoid approving majors that inappropriately usurp the roles that I think can be more effectively played by the state and local governments.
Exactly.
Private sector and our community. So we need to make sure that is honored too.
Without a doubt. Daniel Garza, Executive Director of Liber Initiative, has been with us. And Daniel, one of the things we've been saying repeatedly, you also tweeted to this fact, is big companies do big things. You know, you've got Mike Lindell with MyPillow stepping up. We've got Tesla stepping up. We've got engineered ventilators by Tesla now. We'll probably go from, you know, 0 to 120 in 2.3 seconds, knowing them. They know how to make stuff, you know, General Motors, Ford, all these big companies coming to the forefront and measuring up. We appreciate that. Daniel, we appreciate you. Thank you.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a one-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports, too. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811.